Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. Haggai 2, verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they will come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. 18 months ago, I was preaching, and suddenly up out of my spirit arose three words: souls, money, and supernatural. And as soon as I said it, I knew that the Holy Spirit had deposited those three words inside of me and that I was declaring and speaking something forth from the spirit realm. So whenever that happens, what do? You say it again. Because we're priests. That means we have governing authority in the realm of the spirit, right? That's what priests do. Priests stand between heaven and earth. They represent earth to heaven and heaven to earth, right? So we're priests. And so we have authority to release heaven on earth. So I said it again: souls, money, supernatural. And then I began to feel the authority on it. So what do? When that happens, you say it again: souls, money, and supernatural. And then as you're listening to authority, the people in the meeting realize there's something to that. So everybody started to join in with me. And we started to say souls, money, and supernatural. And I don't know, we'd probably said it seven times or something, but I know we were prophetically declaring and speaking something in the spirit that is our destiny. And here's the interesting thing. There's nothing controversial about the word souls. I mean, I could talk about souls and having a passion for the lost, and nobody's going to get offended. Nobody gets offended with the word supernatural. At least I don't think the people here this morning would get offended with me declaring supernatural. Now, here's the thing. There's something about the word money that is more controversial than other words. You see, let me put it this way. If I said souls, finance, and supernatural, it's not nearly so controversial, is it? It's actually the word money. Souls, money, and supernatural. Now, I read you this verse because God says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is that still true? Because this is in the Old Testament, right? So is it still true? The gold is still God's and the silver is still God's, but somebody give me a dollar bill or something. Has somebody got some money? I should have had some. Anybody got? Huh? Thank you. Okay, so we call this money, but is this money? That's right, it's a piece of plastic. And so it's actually not worth anything. You know why? The only reason it's worth something is because it's got something written on here that says this note is legal tender for $5. So this is backed up by the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. See, it says there, Reserve Bank of New Zealand governor. So the only reason this has value is because it's backed up by the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. But actually, it has no value. And so to have value, there has to be something backing it. So that's why America, for example, has several tons of gold that backs the currency. So when you've got a piece of paper, it's just a representation of wealth that does exist. By the way, just as a side note, do you know how much gold the Reserve Bank of New Zealand has? None. Zero. We don't have any gold. Australia has gold in the Reserve Bank, but we have none. But my point is, this is actually just a piece of paper. So in our modern generation, money is represented on these pieces of paper, but that's not wealth. What is the real wealth? The real wealth is the silver and the gold. So when it says here, the gold is mine and the silver is mine, in the modern generation, we think jewelry, right? We think gold. We think, something elaborate. But in the Bible, you've got to understand, when they say silver and gold, they mean money. Because it's only in the modern generation that we have what we call fiat currency. Mostly, coins and money, they actually had value because they were silver and they were gold. They were precious metals. And so when God says the silver is mine and the gold is mine, what he's actually saying, interpreted from modern generation, is the wealth and the money is mine. Souls, money, and supernatural. Hallelujah. Somebody could get excited. So there's something provocative about the word money that needs to be pushed through and broken through. Because the glory of that latter house will be greater than that of the former house. And we have to understand that the silver and the gold, meaning the money and the wealth, does belong to God. And it's not hard for him to bring the wealth into our hands. He could just click his fingers because it already belongs to him. Even if it's in the hands of a billionaire with a wicked heart and a wicked mind, their wealth still actually belongs to God. Hallelujah. So we just got to know who Dad is. We've got to know who we belong to and begin to live in this boldness of faith, because we are going after souls, money, and supernatural. Just because that's who God is. He's a father with a big heart. He's a provider. He has a destiny for us, and he's a supernatural God. So I want to encourage you to give in faith this morning. Everything we do by faith. And so we're planting a seed as a declaration of war. Amen? So I really encourage you to sow. It's actually a tremendous privilege to have Kathy here with us. A privilege, a blessing, an honor. I need to use as many words as I can find. It's an investment. And so I really encourage you to give generously, but give in faith. Whether big or small, let's just sow with faith this morning. Father, I thank you for this opportunity for us to be able to sow into Kathy's ministry. And Lord, we want to honor her. And we want to bless her in the name of Yeshua. Amen. We really are honored to have Kathy with us. This is the end of her itinerary. She's been in New Zealand for 3 or 4 weeks. She graciously agreed to tag us on the end. So that's why I say we really are honored to have her here. So really ask you to receive her this morning.
Thank you, Nathan. Good morning, everybody. How are you doing? Is that what you say in New Zealand? How are you doing? Well, yeah, we did have a great time, actually, at those meetings in Cromwell. But then, you know, I'm not 25 anymore. So then we had a meeting Friday, all day Saturday, had some dinner, drove for 3 hours in the dark, down those little roads like that, so I was freaking out. So then we stopped and I got a glass of wine, so that I could proceed. It's true, well, I'm just telling you the truth, you know. So then, I know I'm here, so... I'm glad to be here. Actually, it's a beautiful place, Dunedin, isn't it? Got where the albatrosses are and stuff. It's all beautiful around there. Actually, I was going to tell you something about the money, because I think two people have a... Christians have a mindset about money. You know, sometimes I say money, 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 just because it annoys people. Because these times... when God is moving so strong, I mean, he's already moving really strong and it's continuing, it's going to be really powerful. Well, guess what? You have things to do and places to go. So you know what? You don't really have a choice. If you're going to be in that flow of God, you're going to have to prosper. That's it. You know, so many people that I meet all the time are so limited. They can't do what's in their heart because they just don't have the money. But you know what? That's not God. Because God puts his desires in your heart, doesn't he? That's the new covenant. We're not under the old covenant, under the law, thou shalt do this, don't do that. You know, we're in the new covenant, a new heart and a new spirit I put within you, and you'll be my sons and daughters. Well, you see, and he puts his desires in your heart. So when you serve him, it's delightful. It's fun, it's great, because it's in your heart. See, the Bible says his yoke is easy. I tell you what it says in the Greek, his burden is light and delightful. That's what it says. It's not harsh and neither is it heavy, but it's delightful because it's in your heart. So there's so many things that God has put in people's heart that they are unable to go after because of lack of money or finances. That has to break, doesn't it? That's a barrier and a limitation on the church that has to be broken. There's a huge poverty mindset on the church still. And so it has to get broken because you have to receive. We have to be able to receive. And it was funny because Nathan spoke Friday And he talks some about, at the end anyway, no, I had a vision actually of the banqueting table, and he said something about the banqueting table, and I saw this huge, beautiful banqueting table. Have you ever seen that? It was beautiful, I mean, just different stuff. And the Lord said to me, what catches your eye? Take what catches your eye. You see, so I was looking in the spirit at this table, and over here was a basket of gold coins. That caught my eye, obviously, I'm like this. But then I thought, oh no, I need to find something more spiritual. You see? So I'm kind of looking around this table, I found these other things. So I kind of went towards that because I thought God would like that, you know, being spiritual. And he said, I said, well, okay, I'll take these. And he said, no, what catches your eye? You see, and these things caught my eye, you see. But then I thought, no, you know, I need to have something spiritual. So I'm trying, you know, I could see this other basket of stuff. And the Lord said, no, seriously, what catches your eye? The Lord said, no, what catches your eye? You see, so I said, well, that basket of gold coins is what's catching my eye. And the Lord said, well, take it. And tell people to take what catches their eye, not what they think is spiritual, you see. And so, but I keep seeing this, as the Lord said, tell people to take what they need from the financial realm, because you have to be released to do what God's telling you to do. You know what? Otherwise, I'll tell you something, you are going to be so bored. You're going to be bored and boring, because you won't have any adventures to tell anyone. You see, so I believe there's a whole shift. And you know, this move of God is not a couple of people on a platform. That's not a revival anyway. A revival is everyone. A real revival is when God uses everyone. And I've been in those revivals, and there's nothing like it. It is very powerful. You know, the revivals where there's a couple of people on a platform and things happen. I mean, people get healed and, you know, it's wonderful. That's not a revival. That's a grand, wonderful outreach meeting. You know, it is, because it's all centered around a couple of people. You see, and people do get blessed. And it's awesome. I mean, I love that. I've been in those. But there's nothing like a revival when God is using everybody. The banker, the street cleaner, the candlestick maker, the lawyer, the baker, the housewife, the kids. You see, the first revival I was in, the anointing was on everyone. And you know what? It didn't matter where you sat in those meetings, because the person next to you would tell you your name and your address and the name of your dog. People were scared. People came in, when they see what's happening, they'd run out because they were scared. But they'd come creeping back a few weeks later because they were hungry and try and sit at the back. But there wasn't a back. But there wasn't a back, because the people at the back would say, hello, your name's Doris, right? And, you know, even the little kids, I mean, the power of God was on the little kids. I mean, they'd go into their schools. My husband would go in the schools with them. They'd go in and start ministering the kids in the school. My husband would go into the school. They often had to close the school. They'd have to close the school because the kids were all laid out under the power of God. I'm not kidding, in the playing fields and in the corridors, even Leicester College, which is one of the more intellectual colleges in England. They had to close it because all the teachers were out slain in the spirit. The kids were laying all over the college. And when they came out of that, they could either speak in tongues or not speak at all. I was very confused. They had to close the college for 2 days. Oh, you see, so I'm included. You know, no one's excluded in this move. Nobody. So you have to say, I'm available.
I'm available.
Yeah. It's just so amazing. See, Jesus deposited his life in you. He's looking for a return. Right? He has a right to a return on his deposit. Because he's a fruit bearer. That's his nature. I'll tell you something else funny about money. I don't know if you know this. Because like Nathan was saying, see, we're priests, so we have authority. Well, I was reading about Kenneth Hagin. I don't know if you like Kenneth Hagin. He was a great general, wasn't he, really? But Kenneth Hagin kind of pastored this little church, you see. So he had a reasonable, it probably wasn't very much, but a reasonable, some kind of little salary. But then the Lord told him to go itinerant. Well, then he lost his little whatever he got every week. So he's out there. Well, he started this itinerant preaching, and it was terrible. I mean, the offerings were really bad. You like get a dollar or something, you know. So he said to God, I can't do this. He said, I've got a family, you know, and I can't live like this. There's no money. So he said to God, you've got to send me some money. And God said, well, I haven't got any money up here. He said, I don't have any money up here, and if I did, it would be counterfeit. So he said, you call the money. You take authority over the money. You call the money that you need. So anyway, he started to do that, and then, of course, you know, he's very blessed, and God gave him lots of cows. We got cows yesterday. Some of you here, you've got a cow before now. When I've been here, a cow represents a continual means of provision, right? A lot of people, oh, who's got a cow before? Some of you haven't. Maybe we should get one. God's been dropping cows on people. All over. You see? Yes, he has. And I mean, people have been really prospering. When the children of Israel went into the promised land, said it's a land flowing with milk and honey. But there wasn't rivers of milk, were there? I mean, they didn't come home with a bucket of milk. They had to milk the jolly cow. So God's been dropping businesses on people because he wants you freed up. You have things to do and places to go. No one's excluded. See, in the spirit realm, there's no time or distance in the spirit realm. God can just as soon tell you to go to Edinburgh as he can tell you to go to Auckland. There's no time or distance in the spirit realm. You see, you just have to be available. You know, I tell people, especially some of the older people now, I mean, you can sit there and be bored, if you like. Oh, you know what? You've got one shot down here. That's it. You're not coming back as a hamster. You got one shot, right? So you might as well have fun. And you might as well have some adventures. You know, you don't die of boredom, do you? I'd rather die driving with Nathan than just die of boredom. And actually, you know, I love it because some of the older people now, they're getting up and doing something. You know, my mom, when she got saved, she was 75. But you know, she'd never been anywhere her whole life. She'd never been outside of England. You know, you went for a holiday to Bournemouth. That's your life. That was the highlight of the year when you went on this stupid vacation to Bournemouth. It was so boring. There was nothing in Bournemouth. You know. Thank you, Margaret. No anointing without tea. Thanks. But my mother, when she was 74, she got saved. I mean, it was a miracle how she got saved. I won't tell you that right now. She got delivered from she'd been to spiritist meetings. So she had this big old divination spirit that rose up. But she got delivered from that and she got saved. When we moved to America, so She was so excited, and because when we moved to America, she realized if she wanted to see her grandkids, she's going to have to come to America. Although we took them over there, of course, you know, to see her. So, my mother came to America. She went to Israel. She always wanted to go to Israel. She stepped out and went to Israel. Now, you have to, you know, that's a big deal for an older lady on her own. That's 75, has never been anywhere except on a train. So she went off to Israel. Then the bank made a big mistake. They gave her a credit card. Well, she has no idea what that is, really. You know what I mean? That's totally beyond her thinking. So she's got this credit card now. And she doesn't totally understand how it works. Well, she's got this credit card. So she comes to America a couple of times. And she's got the credit card, you see. Let's use this card. The bank gave me this card. We're saying, like, you know, you do have to pay this back. Do you understand that? Oh, really? Well, just use the card. So she goes to America. She says she goes to Europe because she's got this credit card, you see. She goes to Europe, all over Europe, comes back to America, you see, and because she's having such fun. And then she died. And I thought, you know, this was probably a bit naughty of me, but I thought it serves them right. That serves them right. Because they have no business giving a 70-year-old lady a credit card, so she doesn't understand anything about it. Anyway, no, I'm not advocating that. Please don't leave this meeting and say, Kathy Waters said, you know, we should all get a... No, I just thought it was funny, you know, because they rip you off so much, don't they? I mean, you know, when I think of the money I paid in interest charges on credit cards, I thought, it served you right. I'm just kidding. Anyway, but I was saying, you see, God said to Kenneth Hagin, I don't have any money. You have to call it in for yourself. So that's where what Nathan was talking about. We are priests. We do have authority. You know what you need in order to do what God's telling you to do. You see, look, we feed from the tree of knowledge still. I take groups to Ireland and Scotland every year. It's awesome. I take groups to Wales and England. But Ireland and Scotland is an amazing trip. It's not a mission trip. It's not a ministry trip even. It's a chill out. Get drunk in the spirit and get delivered trip. And people do. Big time. Because God moves. We don't do religious stuff. We go to the pub. You know what? God's in the people. People are in the pub. They love it. They want to hear. I mean, you know, it's awesome. Because we go to the Patrick places in Ireland, you know, where Patrick had his first church, Patrick was buried. Patrick, by the way, was known as the man that raises dead people. He wasn't known for chasing snakes out of Ireland. There's never been any snakes in Ireland. And he didn't wear green hats or anything. But he raised people from the dead all the time. He won Dublin to the Lord by raising the king's two children from the dead. So we go to the Patrick places and we have an awesome time. God just shows up and everybody gets blasted and delivered. And they're never the same ever again. Something happens when God gets you away from your familiar, doesn't it? Because you can't, what can you? You can't go home and do the ironing, can you? I wouldn't anyway, but I mean, you can't go home and do that. You can't go home and see to this, that, and the other. You're there, stuck on a bus with me for 2 weeks. It's pretty wild, but it is awesome. So, but you see, when I talk about that, probably most of you guys, the first thing you would do was consult your checkbook. Right? That would probably be one of your first thoughts. But that's getting your information from the tree of knowledge. Because your checkbook's probably not going to tell you a whole lot. But if you consult the tree of life, which is Jesus, and he says, go with Kathy to Ireland, he imparts the faith for what you need, for you to get what you need to get in order to do what he says. Understand? So we get our information from the tree of life and not the tree of knowledge. Is that right? Yeah. About everything. Because we live by the proceeding word. The preceding word is the word that takes you from A to B. And when you receive something this morning, not everyone will receive the same thing, but what you do receive this morning, the preceding word that God says to you today is the word that's going to move you to the next step. It's the word that's going to move you to the next thing. Because we always have to keep moving, is that right? If you hear, you know, I've been saying at the weekend, when you get something from God, a word or something, you have to actually get it. You have to own it, mine. You can't say that's interesting, I'll write that in my Bible. Let me just put that on my notepad. No, you have to actually get it, and you have to actually own it, and you have to actually claim it, and you have to make it yours, and you have to receive it, and you have to do something about it, like step into something. Nothing's going to change around you unless you change something. You just stay there, sit there week after week if you like. Oh, the tea. Don't you do you understand what I'm saying? I'm just trying to stir you up a bit. It's like a sleepy thing over this town, isn't there? Anyway, I've got a scripture I'm going to read to you. Because I want to challenge you a little bit. Is that all right? See, when I'm gone, you can just ignore what I said. But that's, you're not my responsibility in that way. You know, my responsibility is to offer what he gives me, which is what I'm doing. So I can't make you receive it. I'm not about to try. That's up between you and God. You know, if you have a prophetic word for somebody, if Sue has a prophetic word for me this morning, her responsibility is to offer it to me, that's all. She can't make me receive it, can she? Because she's not the Holy Spirit. That's a good way to keep out of some heaviness, not being the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you see, if you have something, your responsibility is to offer it, offer what God gives you. That's it. You can't make anybody do anything. You can try. But it has a way of backfiring. Actually, false responsibility can cripple you physically. I have a friend in Alaska. He's a pastor. He's a lovely guy, but he's in a wheelchair. And there's nothing wrong with him. It's totally false responsibility from his church. He feels so responsible for all those people. And I keep telling him, you can't make them receive anything because you're not the Holy Spirit. You can offer what God gives you. You can't make them receive. You see, you can't make them do anything. There's no good scolding them and threatening them. That's not going to help. Not going to do anything. But if you get under that, you see, and you take all that responsibility on yourself, it can affect you physically. And this guy's in a wheelchair. Now he can get out the wheelchair to preach, but all the responsibility of all those people comes right back on him. It's actually a religious spirit. When I was there last time, because I love him and I love the church, he preached with me Sunday morning. There's the wheelchair, gets out the wheelchair, preaches back in the wheelchair. The elders, they said to me, Miss Kathy, we believe you have a word for pastor. I said, oh, really? Put you on the spot. I didn't have anything. They said, after the service, we're going to have a meeting in pastor's office. And you can give the word. So okay. So we have this meeting. They're all sitting around really serious, you know. I'm sitting there. They're looking at me. He's sitting there looking at me. And one of the elders goes, well, Miss Kathy, what's the word? I said, go to Disney. I said, go to Disney. They said, is that it? I said, they said, what time does your flight leave? I thought, well, you can't make up something, can you, to please somebody? Anyway, so I went on home to Georgia, and I got a phone call on Tuesday from the youth pastor. He said, you'll never guess what happened. I said, what happened? He said, because the pastor was not very happy about that word. So I said, well, nothing I can do about that. So he said, but on Monday, our pastor's friend from LA called and said, you've been on our heart, you know, for a few weeks now. So we want to give you a break and we're going to bring you down here to LA. We're going to get you first class air tickets. And you're going to stay in our guest house and our maid will be there to help you. It's beautiful. They're multimillionaires. We're going to give you our Mercedes. And we got you 5-day tickets for Disney. And you know, they had to go. And he is mad. She didn't want to go to Disney. She did not want to go to Disney. He wanted to just worry about the people. Anyway, so, but he had to go. Well, the first days around Disney, you know, in a wheelchair, not happy. I think they got him to go on a kiddie ride. She's like that. The second day is in the wheelchair. I think he went on a couple of kiddie rides. The third day, he decides he quite likes this. You know, because Disney's very pleasant if it's not too crowded. Very pleasant. So now he's getting out the wheelchair a little bit, you know, getting on a few rides and going into the nice restaurant. The next day, didn't even take the wheelchair. But only for one reason, because he forgot all about those people. You see, you can't carry people like that because you're not God. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And many revivals have been quenched out by false responsibility. You see, people taking responsibility for how people responded, you can't. Because I can't change your heart. I can't make you do anything. I can't make you receive anything. That's between you and God, you see. And so often revival has begun to lift through false responsibility. Anyway, that's not the word I heard. I just thought I'd throw that in for free. Actually, you know, you should always take an offering, I believe, after the speaker, because you might have decided you need to give a whole lot more money. Or you might have decided, I hate her, I want my money back. Oh, yeah, religious people don't like me. Okay, this is what I'm going to leave with you, and it's an invitation. You know, God wants you always to move from A to B. Because we should have some adventures, isn't that right? I believe our life should be full of adventures. Because Jesus is full of adventures. Everything he does is adventure, because it requires your faith to step out. How many of you stepped out on a limb before? Three people. You see, you step out on this limb, whoa, but actually you can always crawl back again. It's when you step out on a limb and then you hear the sound of the saw behind you. Then you have to believe underneath of the everlasting arms. Okay. So Jeremiah, I just want to leave this invitation from Jeremiah. Jeremiah actually, I don't know if you ever thought about this, Jeremiah was a teenage prophet. He's a teenager. He's a kid. See, when people think of Jeremiah, because later on he had these, like, kind of heavy words and stuff. He wasn't popular. but actually, when God called Jeremiah as a teenager, and it seemed like Jeremiah wasn't really doing anything too much, and suddenly, God showed up. Woo! Because God suddenly showed up on the scene and said, hey, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And listen, that's a pretty heavy word to give to someone that's not doing anything, isn't it? Like, it's not a word that says, well, come in the river, come up higher, go down lower. It's like, and Jeremiah said, you got the wrong person. That's what he said, really. Didn't he? So you got the wrong person. Because he said, Lord, I don't know how to do this because I'm just a child. He was just a kid. He was just a teenager. Oh, you got the wrong person. That's what he said, didn't he? I don't know how to do this. You got the wrong person. And God said, don't even say that. Just say that. Because you're going to go to everyone I send you, whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them. Hey, I like this bit. Do not be afraid of them. For I am with you. Listen to this bit. And I will rescue you. Well, if God suddenly gave you word this morning, so and said, I want you to go to Africa and I'll rescue you, that presupposes you're going to need rescuing. Doesn't it? So that's a little bit hairy here, you know. I'm going to rescue. You're going to rescue me from what? Don't worry about it because I'm going to rescue you. Then the Lord touched his mouth and said, I put my words in your mouth. Listen, here's the teenage kid. I'm going to point you over nations and kingdoms to uproot, tear down, destroy, overthrow, build and plant. You know what? He had no clue what God was talking about. He had no idea what God's talking about because he couldn't have. He hadn't done anything. You already said you got the wrong person. You see, he could not know what God was talking about, really. But then, he knew a little bit about faith because his dad was a preacher. And then God said something interesting. He said, Jeremiah, what do you see? Now, Jeremiah knew a little bit about faith, like I said. So he got into faith and he saw a vision. He said, well, I see the rod or the branch of an almond tree. That was the vision he had. And you know what God said? I like that vision. I think I'll do it. If you want the King James, he says, you have well seen. I'll hasten my word and perform it. But in other words, in New Zealand language, God said, I like that vision. I think I'll do it. So when Jeremiah declared his vision, God came behind it to do it. That's what it says. Isn't that awesome? He came behind him to do it. See, God, look, the Bible says God confirms the word, doesn't he? He confirms the word with signs following. That's just not for preachers on a platform, that's for you. The things you declare in faith, in the anointing, you declare in the anointing, God will come behind you and provide the signs following to confirm the word you spoke, because the word in you, the creator that spoke and created the world, is in you. Isn't he? The creator is in you. So, honey, when you speak, you have power to create. Don't you? He didn't say when you think. He said something about that. But when God confirms the word spoken, not the word thought. See, in the beginning of Hebrews, it says, God confirmed the gospel. When they preached the gospel, the good news, what God did, came behind them and confirmed it with signs following. In other words, God did what they preached. They preached salvation, healing, deliverance. That's what God did. You know what? You should all come up here and be ministering. Take it in turns. Well, Nathan won't care. But the word that you preach, the words that you speak, if you speak under the anointing, God will come behind and demonstrate it. You see, because he's all about confirming the word. Look, when you have the word only, you will end up with an unfruitful spirit. I cast that out of a few people yesterday. I did. Sits in your stomach. Paul said, I didn't come to you in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. And you know what else he said? I didn't come to you with a yes and no gospel. I came to you with a gospel that said yes and amen. Because all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. I was brought up in my fundamentalist church in a yes and no gospel. God can heal you, and you should ask for healing, but he might and he might not because he's sovereign. Well, how can you believe anything, you know? God wants to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and you must certainly ask for that. But he might and he might not, because he's sovereign. That's Calvinism. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. It's Doris Day theology. It's not Bible theology. Because all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. To the glory of God. See, if you have a yes and no God, you'll never receive anything. Because the devil will make sure you never feel qualified. And you never feel, you never feel qualified. You talk about the realm of the spirit, supernatural realm, the angels, heavenly visitations. And you think, oh, it's for her and her because they're like those kind of spirit people. But it's for everyone, isn't it? When Jesus died and rose again, didn't he qualify everybody? And he qualified us 100%, by the way. 100%. And guess what? You can't unqualify. Because you can't unqualify from something you never qualified for. He left us such an awesome inheritance. You should be excited out of your mind. Beside yourself. Have you seen people that were beside themselves? What do you say? I see the rod of an almond tree. I see the rod of an almond tree. God said, I like that vision. I think I'll do it. Actually, Jeremiah prophesied his own ministry. Because the rod or the branch of an almond tree represents someone who provokes. So he prophesied, he said, that's what he became. Wasn't it? Very provocative, Jeremiah. So he prophesied his own ministry. So this is my question this morning. When you get home today, or tomorrow, don't leave it past tomorrow, because you won't do it. You put it out of your mind. Take a little time with God, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. Play your worship music or whatever, but don't start praying, just wait. There were some people, yesterday I was trying to give them a drink of wine, but they couldn't drink the wine because they wouldn't stop praying. I said, would you stop praying? I'm praying for you. Shut up, stop. But they couldn't stop because it's a religious thing, you know. Anyway, don't pray. Just wait on the Lord. Enjoy the Lord because your first calling is to enjoy God. He called you first to enjoy him, not to serve him, actually. When you enjoy him, then you can serve him. Then you'll have something to give. But don't serve him if you don't enjoy him because you'll just be passing on your religion. I hate to tell you, no one's interested. No one out there is at least interested in your religion. But if you've got something good, they might want that. People are really open if they think you're not going to put your religion on them. They want something, something's happening. So will you take, just your time and just say, Holy Spirit, you get into faith now and start believing because you're going to have to believe what you see. Believe what you begin to see, right? Say that I'm going to decide to believe what I begin to see because then you'll see more. Is that right? When you believe what you see, then you see more. That's how it works. If you get a prophetic word and you believe it and you give it, then you'll get more. That's how you receive by faith. Is that right? And just wait with the Holy Spirit and chill out and say, God, I want you to show me what you see for me. And he will start, be open, he'll start to show you something. And as he starts to show you something, believe it. And he'll show you more. And you keep believing it, and he'll show you more. Because you know what? He wants you to see the whole picture. We all of us have a very limited vision. He wants us to see the whole picture, because he's a great big God. And what he has for you is so far beyond anything you could ever ask or think. But you see, look, you can't aim at something you can't see. Can you? You can't aim at something you can't see. That's why he wants you to see. We're not in some kind of guessing hit and miss game here. If I walk over here to this pretty lady, I'm walking towards what I can see. Otherwise, I'm wandering around the 100-acre wood like Pooh Bear. Bumping into trees, hoping for some honey. So he does want you to see. Now, some of you are a bit older, a few, one or two. Older people. Do you remember, actually, Sue's still got one. Do you remember those old TVs? No, I mean the really old. Do you remember those old TVs? They were like this big. Remember them, anybody? Are you giving your age away? Can you remember what used to happen when the tube used to go? Do you remember that, anybody? The picture would shrink, wouldn't it? And they'd say, the tube's going. And nobody wanted to buy a new tube because it was expensive. So you waited to the last minute and you're like... And you kind of threw it away because it was easier to buy a new TV. But you see, we see a limited vision. All of us, because of our boxes we put ourselves in. God's breaking the boxes right now, by the way. Break that box. Break that box. Break the box. Because what God sees is so big. You see, he's not limited. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, unlimited. He's not limited by your ability. He's not limited by your ability. Because he uses his ability. You're just a channel. You know, God's not impressed with your intellect either. He's just, a cabbage will do for a head. He's just looking for someone that's available, that will step out and believe. You know, and you know what? Let me tell you something else. You know, the old man was crucified, Romans 6, was crucified. That's what Jesus did already for you, so that by faith you can walk in the new man, who's already created in righteousness and holiness. So when he crucified that old man, what's your name? Well, when he crucified that old Miles, he crucified your reputation. So it doesn't really matter what people think about you, does it? See, the anointing sets you free from sin conscious and a self-conscious realm. We need to be free from that self. Who cares what people think? What would they say? What are people thinking about me? Who cares, really? I mean, who's got time for that? Do you have time for that? I don't have time for that. I can't help it what people think about me. They can think whatever they like. But you see, it's part of being free to get into what God's got for you. You know, because sometimes you get to be the sound, and the sign, and the wonder. So you better not care about your reputation, because sometimes you can do some strange things. See, God's not asking for our approval. He's just doing some things because he wants to show himself. He wants to declare himself. God loves to, you know, everything we do, whether it's ministering, preaching, whatever you do, really, it has one purpose, and that's to get glory for God. Everything that Jesus did was for one purpose only, and that was to get glory for God. Everything he did was to give God glory. That's our ultimate purpose, and everything we do is to give God glory. The healings and the miracles are actually a byproduct, but so that God will get glory. See, remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? And he just did what the Father told him, by the way. He didn't run and meet Lazarus's need, because he waited 2 days before he went there. He actually waited till he died. But he did that, and when he got there, he raised Lazarus from the dead. It says, and God got glory. And that was the whole purpose of the whole thing, was that God would get glory. So the whole purpose of whatever you do is really that God gets glory. So that's why he wants to show you what he's got for you. Because you have to move towards something. You can't just like, whatever will be. God knows where I live if he wants to heal me. Jesus knows where I am if he wants to fill me with the Holy Ghost. He knows where I am if he wants to, like, show me a destiny. No. You have to get in there, because there's someone standing there called the devil who doesn't want you to get under the anointing. He doesn't care about you at all. He's only worried that you might get the anointing, because it's only the anointing that affects his kingdom. He doesn't care if you do this for 20 years. Do lots of good things and miss the God thing. So busy working for Jesus. You can be so busy working for Jesus, you totally miss divine appointments. Totally miss kingdom things for you. He's so busy working. Jesus doesn't want you to work for him, by the way. He's not running around here today trying to recruit workers. He's just looking for his sons and daughters to rise up and be who he called them to be. He doesn't want you to work for him anyway. He wants you to yield to him. This lady told me, in my church, she said, we sing a song. We are toiling in the vineyard. I said, it sounds painful. I said, it is really. It's very boring. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. He wants you to see the whole picture. Because you have to move towards something. You can't just sit there. And, you know, someday my prince will come. Well, maybe he's out in Auckland. Maybe you have to go to Auckland, I don't know. But, I mean, you have to move on to the next thing. Don't you? There's always more. He's always got more for you. There's always more. Whatever you have now, there's more. More anointing. You see, you have to step out in faith a bit, though, don't you? It's comfortable back here. With the thing with the money, see, I'm comfortable here, my $20 offering. So I don't get stretched. But really, you have a little poverty spirit that keeps you comfortable in your $20 offering. Come on, Rover, let's go to church today. It's a little poverty spirit. Come on, Rover. Let's find our seat, Rover. There's someone sitting in our seat. Bite them. I love that bit. So you have to break some things in order to receive more. Is that right? Sometimes you have to let go of what you have. Because you can't hold on to what you have and get something new, something else. You've got to move on to the next thing. There's a mantle coming on New Zealand right now. It's an awesome mantle. It's light blue. It's like an Elijah mantle. But you know, it's not automatic. You have to get it. Mine! You do, mine. Nothing's automatic. Deliverance it's wonderful, but it's not automatic. You have to actually get delivered. The wonderful thing is you can. Healing's not automatic. You have to receive the healing. Salvation's available. It's not automatic. You have to receive Jesus. It's this mantle that's coming. It's not automatic. You're going to have to get it. Man, you have to start walking in it. You have to own it. You have to be bold about it. You have to declare it. You have to declare it. And I'll end with this, showing you how to get the mantle. And will you do what I asked? I mean, it's not, you know, not for me, for yourself. God wants you to see what he's got for you. He's not trying to keep secrets. He's not like, well, you just walk along and guess. God's not, he didn't keep you guessing. You're his kid. You know, well, guess what? Well, you never know, whatever. He wants you to know your destiny. He already has a destiny for you, doesn't he? Before you were born, I knew you. You already had a plan and a destiny. And all the things in your heart is in that destiny walk. All the things you love and desire is already planned in that destiny. They're all along the path so that you can pick them up as you go. Woo! Turn to your neighbor, say, I'm so prosperous. You see, you have to prosper in every way. You have to prosper in your walk, in the gifts and the callings of God, and in your life and your money too. You know what I've noticed? A lot of people, even their personalities are like put in a box. You meet people that they've never, half of them has never come out yet. It's hidden down there. It's not very New Zealandish. Because New Zealand has that British thing. Don't make too much noise. Don't be too loud. Don't be too out there. Let's be balanced. You know, I think, what does that mean anyway? What do I mean by that balance? You mean like have some healing but have some sickness to balance it up? Have some joy, you know, but have a bit of misery to balance it up. Don't have too much joy. I mean, you might be unbalanced. Get drunk in the spirit. But not everybody. You should be balanced. If you don't understand the laughter, by the way, it's actually a warfare weapon. God looks in his enemies and has them in derision. It's true. Some of the most powerful strongholds I ever came across were broken by the laughter. Because you've all done this, I'm sure. You've been praying for someone, you know, or ministering to them, and they're telling you all this terrible stuff. It's awful. You start laughing. And they're looking at it like, what's wrong with you? And you say, don't worry about it, honey. Something good is happening. And it's true. It's true. See, your spirit begins to pick up on a victory. That's what the laughter is. And it brings it down. That's why the devil doesn't like the laughter. Don't be in a church that doesn't like the laughter. That's shooting yourself in the foot. Where's my tea? Oh. Seriously, the laughter is a warfare weapon. I saw a whole room full of Druid spirits in Wales, strong Druid spirits. The people said laugh for 30 minutes, not a bit of laughter came. Those Druid spirits ran out of that place. God's ways aren't our ways. So. But I think you have to make a commitment to let God show you that vision that he has for you. See the whole thing. Otherwise you'll be not knowing what to do or where to go. God opens doors. You know, but you know what? You have to decide in your heart, what do you want? You know, sometimes I say to people, what do you want? It's like, I say, what's that mean? That's what you're going to get then. Because you're going to get what you receive and declare, aren't you? What do you want? I don't know. Well, that's what you're going to get. I don't know, ministry. I can't help you. I can't prophesy because I don't know myself. I don't know where I'm going or who's going with me. I'm just meandering around the woods. Looking for someone. No. So when you're waiting on the Lord, you know, and you let him show you, and you begin to see, and you believe it, and you begin to see more, and you believe it, and he shows you the whole picture, then you have to decide you believe it, and start doing something to walk towards it. Supposing he begins to show you the whole continent of Africa, for example. You know what? Start commanding doors to open. The right doors to open. Put pictures on the wall about Africa. Look up on the internet the stuff that's happening. The spirit stuff that's, you know. Do something to move yourself. Don't just sit there like a lump. You know, lump. Yeah, something's got to shake and move, hasn't it? You know, we can't stay like we are. We've got to, we have to move on. So he has to move. I was going to tell you about, you know, the lady that sang the song. In my church, we sing this song. This is coming back. I've got fire. What is it she sang? We're something in the toiling. So she said, my church is very boring. I said, well, that's because you're boring. I said, well, you're sitting there with the board, you're part of it. She said, what shall I do? I said, I don't know, prophesy. She said, oh, they won't like it. So it won't be boring. Well, I saw this lady a couple months later at another conference. She was all bright eyed and bushy tailed. No. She said, Kathy, I want to talk to you. She said, I did what you said. She said, the next Sunday in my church, when the choir finished and the pastor's walking up the steps, she stood up and prophesied. She said, and two deacons came and escorted me out. I said, well, it wasn't boring, was it? It wasn't boring. I said, that's the most exciting thing ever happened there. I said, they called each other for 2 weeks about that. They called everyone that left years ago. She said, now I go to this group and they prophesy and pray and everything. She's all excited. So, do you think you could do that? Do you think you could do that? Don't do it for me, do it for yourself. You know, because God, you know, he wants you to see what he's got. You're his kids. You're royalty. You're princes and princesses. You're royalty. He wants you to walk like royalty into a purpose and a vision. So that means you have to get up sometimes and step out. Do something. Do something. Come on my island tour. You'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. It's not religious. It's not a mission trip. It's not a missionary trip or anything like that. But God shows up. You'll never be the same. You're going to be in a bus with me for 2 weeks. And one of us is going to change. It's not going to be me. It's because it's my tour. Now we've had some massive, just lives completely turned around. I've got this fire on my eyelids. I don't know what that means. But anyway, can I just share with you some of the CDs on my book table? And, you know, like keep investing in the kingdom. Your finances, your prophetic gifts, praying for the sick, visions. You know, those visions pass through your spirit night and day. Just tune in. You have prophetic words passing through your spirit all the time, endlessly. You can all go and prophesy over everybody in here today. Keep your antenna up. That's all. Tune in to your spirit man. Your spirit man lives in the heavenly realm. Okay, so let me just see what I have here. I have some things left because I've done like 3 conferences. But you know, the truth sets you free. So keep listening. Don't listen to religious stuff. It's got half its foot in that old covenant. It will keep dragging you back there. You're new covenant people. You have to stay in new covenant revelation. Get all the heavy stuff off you. It's not spiritual. It's religious and it's soulish. Look, I know people all around the world because I travel around the world all the time. The sharpest people I know in the spirit realm are the lightest. That heavy thing you see, it's not spiritual. It just means they're trying to do something themselves. Shake it off, come on. It's not you, it's him. You just yield, you know, do what he tells you to do. Say what he tells you to say. Go where he tells you to go, that's it. That's it. You can't make anybody do anything. Okay, this is, see, some of my books that I don't have, but they're on these CDs. So like this one, it's got 3 of my books on, my Living in the Supernatural. Oh, it's got The Anointing and You. That's my husband's book. How to Receive the Anointing. How to Bring the Anointing into a medium. How to Impart the Anointing. How to Pass it on to another generation or another people. You need to know that stuff. And my book, Living in the Supernatural. And you know what? It's really easy to live in the supernatural. There's nothing hard about it. You don't have to qualify. It's not a test. Jesus already took the test and he passed it. There's not another test. And this one, Getting Free, Living in the Supernatural. I only have 1 left, but any of my stuff you can get online. If you listen to this 10 times, you will get delivered from all your religious stuff that's in here that stops you receiving. And the almond tree, that's kind of another version of what I did this morning. It never comes out the same. Oh, this is a really good one. It's called David's Mighty Men, or How to Get Your Stuff Back. David got his stuff back, didn't he? He didn't say, well, whatever. God must be trying to teach me something. Did he? He didn't say, well, God must be... Yeah, God's trying to teach me something. No, he went after his stuff and he got it back. My friends did that too. Well, they got millions of dollars. Because the devil stole my friend's inheritance, her husband took it. And all the nice Christians said, oh, just let it go, Anita. Don't worry about it. Her daughter said, you're talking about $4 million. Half of that's hers. They said, oh, don't. I said, go after it. That's your inheritance. See, I like it when, after the battle, you know, the children of Israel, the Philistines would look around to see if there was any fields, barley fields, or lentils, and they'd rip off the harvest. And Eliezer got in the field and said, no! That's our harvest! There's a time to fight. You don't just roll over. Well, Jill got stood up, her daughter, and they went after that money because that's for the kingdom. And everything was against her, everything. The police, the judge, the attorneys, because they were Freemasons. And after months, when Jill had a miscarriage nearly, because it was so traumatic, but they ended up in the courtroom, they already threw the daughter out because she's praying in tongues all over the... They threw her out in the street. So she's marching up and down the street, praying in tongues. And they got Anita, because their attorney was losing really bad. Because these are all big shot guys. And they already, you know, paid everybody off. and Anita was on the stand. And she was trying to give her testimony, but her husband's attorney kept interrupting. He wouldn't let her finish. And she said, Jill said she's out in the street praying and these tears rolled down her eyes. Now, she wasn't crying because she was mad, but they just rolled down her eyes. At the same time, in the courtroom, Anita, these tears just begin to fall down her eyes. Now, she said she didn't feel like crying because she was just frustrated and getting angry because they wouldn't let her finish. But these tears rolled down her eyes. And the judge said, everybody, shut up. Let her finish. Let her tell her story. Nobody speak. So she testified for an hour. How she met Jesus. How the angels were over the courtroom. How she gave money to Africa for the worlds. Then she said, okay, that's it. There was just like silence. The judge said to her husband, she's going to get the house. You can get in there and get your computer out by next week. She can have the Mercedes. And she's going to have half that business, and I will check in a month's time that she's got it. And they're all Jewish, these guys, you see. So then the judge said, does anybody want to say anything? And Anita's attorney walked over to the husband's attorney and said, you better be careful because Jesus might be the Messiah. I love it. So how to get your stuff back? How many had stuff ripped off? This is my Celtic books. Patrick, Brendan, Bridget, Cuthbert. It's a good one. If you like all that kind of historic. You know, Patrick raised the dead. All the time he was known as the man that raised the dead people. How many people pray in here? Anybody? You know, when I say that, people are kind of like, I often think, what does that mean? Do they mean they could pray? They might pray. They never pray. But people that pray and are interested in what's going on out there, a spiritual strategy is how to take down strongholds. Because guess what? The devil's a strategist. He creates strategies. And the Holy Spirit can show you those strategies and show you how to take them down. That's accounts of revival. You know what else I've got out there too? Now, this was your idea in New Zealand. That's why I did them. Those little jump things. USBs. My secretary calls them jumps. They're little jumps. And they've got different books and CDs on. And they're a really good deal. Because you just sit them and you've probably got 10 books there for like half the price. So they're out there. So don't forget them, okay? Because keep putting stuff in your ears. Stop listening to all the religious stuff. It's not going to move you on. It's not. It will keep you where you are. You have to start listening to some faith and something that's going to move you to the next place. You have to move on. You have to move on. I love you guys. I'll see you next time I come. If you want to talk to me, I'll be here. But, well, it's fire. I feel fire. Anybody else feel that fire? It's like fire, fire. Father, I just pray for the fire. Ooh, it's burning my feet. Anybody else feel that? Can you feel that? Father, thank you, Lord. That's the soles of your feet. That means there's places to go. Ooh, I'm available. Yeah, I've got fire under my feet. I've got fire in my ears. Now my hand's stuck again. My hand keeps getting stuck. It's burning. What is that, Nathan? What's this? Stuck. You know, we won't move on until we get it. That's how God talks to me. It's like a fire. Anybody? Anybody see what it is? I can by faith. Sue. What is that? It's my hands are burning on fire. Yes, that's true. Fire, fire. Whoa. Getting stronger. Yeah. See, the fire's good. Yes. Okay, now hold your hands this way. Both your hands this way. Father, I just release fire in our hands. And Father, I release those coins today. I release those gold coins that you showed me the other day, that they're for us to receive because we have to be able to move and do stuff. All right, now it's getting really heavy. Anybody feel that? Can you feel that? Yeah. It's getting heavy, isn't it? Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you. We're available. Hope you got a passport. We're receiving. Thank you, Lord. We're ready to go to the next thing you have for us. So I'm so ready. And I'm so qualified. And so available. Okay. All right. I've still got something in my hand now. It's really heavy. Yeah. But this feels like a ball. It's like golden. So I should throw it. It's like a... Okay. Isn't God fun? Okay. All right, well, we love you guys. Can we pray a Godfrey Birtle CD? Where is it? At home? Oh. Anybody got a Godfrey Birtle CD in the car? No? You? Oh, okay. We need one. Well, we don't have one. Okay, well, thank you, Lord. Just release your good news over everyone this morning. You know what? Hold up your wallet, your purse, something that represents your finances. Hold it up. First of all, say, Lord, this is available. And now I release the spirit of good news over your checking account, savings account, stocks, shares, lands, farms, businesses, inheritances, jobs. Anything else? Anything else? Trips. Oh, who didn't get a cow yet? Anybody want a cow? Okay, you want a cow? You have to keep your antenna up. Look, everybody do this. That's how easy it is to tune into the Holy Spirit. You're tuning into your spirit, man. That's all it is. So I'm going to release cows. You've got to catch them. Like this. Like I say this every minute. That's not a cow. That's a hamster. Get a milk hamster, it's up to you. Look, cows come this way. So I see cow legs up there. You have to do this. It's going to come this way. So when I release the cows, you will begin to feel a weight in your arms. When you feel the weight just a little bit, give it a hug. Because you have to love your cow. It's not going to work for you if you don't love your cow. You have to, I love you, cow. And then keep your antenna up and let God drop something in your spirit. Me and Margaret had a great idea on the way here. Okay, thank you, Lord. All the cows are yours. And thank you, Lord, for releasing so many people, giving them so many businesses, that we can be free to go and to do, especially as this move's coming. Oh, I've got to go all over the world. Jesus' name, I release the cows. Release the cows. Jesus' name. Amen. As soon as you begin to feel a little weight, just give it a hug. say, love your cow. Ooh. You have to love your cow. Got to love your cow. You can get 10 cows. You can have a cow that has baby cows. Any farmers in here? Any farmers? No? No farmers? Okay, I had a testimony on Friday from a friend of mine in Australia. He got a revelation about declaring. When I was speaking, his pastor was speaking about declaring the power of our words. And he got this. Every night he went home to his sheep. He had a small herd of sheep. And he'd written out whole things that he declared over his sheep every night. He commanded them to be blessed going in and blessed going out. He told them they were wonderful, awesome creatures of God. He told them they were beautiful. He released good news over them every night. He just wrote to me an email and said, every lamb had twins. Some had triplets. And out of his small stock of rams, they just won two big prizes. He said he didn't do anything different except that every night, speaking over them. Isn't that awesome? You know, so speak over yourself. Put your hand on your head. Say, I release good news over you. Yes. Yes. See, we're carriers of good news. And when you go home, look, release good news over the mailbox, the telephone, seriously, the computer, the doorway, wherever there's an entrance into your house, release the spirit of good news because nothing's automatic. All right, Nathan. Bless you.
Woo! Hallelujah, Jesus. Love you. I wonder if we could just wait on the Lord for just another little moment. I just saw, while Kathy is speaking, I saw angels going around, and they were lifting weights off people's shoulders. And so I just want you to receive that right now. Father, right now, I thank you that weights are being lifted off people's shoulders. There are people here today, and you've believed that life circumstances have caused you to be in the situation you're in, but actually, there are demonic assignments operating. And he's wanting to break those assignments, and he's wanting, because they're designed to bring weight on you. The weight ties you up so you can't move anymore, and it leads to frustration. And I believe the Lord wants to give you a revelation right now of the freedom that he brings, and just to yield to these angels as they come along and they counter the demonic assignments and they break those yokes off you. The Lord says there's incredible freedom. Incredible freedom for the sons and the daughters of God. Don't accept anything less. Incredible freedom. We release it. Hallelujah.
I had that actually, and I got a song which I want to play to you. How many of you got a pressing problem or burden right now? You've got something pressing. Yeah. Well, you know, when you have a pressing problem or something you've got to deal with, whatever, you really, you want to get into it, don't you? You've got to deal with it, something. But sometimes God says, forget it, because he's going to deal with it. And just before the meeting, I'm glad you did that, because it reminded me, the Lord gave me a song. He said it was for people that were having a problem. It's a song for you. And actually it was the same as what you were saying with the song. Now listen, I got this song for you. Even though it looks like things you have to deal with, whatever. No, and it gets exactly what Nathan just said. He just reminded me of the song. Because there is angels that were lifted off you. You know what? There's a lot of things you can't handle, but he can. His right hand, holy arm's gotten the victory. This is the funny thing that God says, the opposite to what you think. I got this song on the way here. And it's really exactly what Nathan just said. If you can receive it.
You can have your own set of wings. With your feet on the ground, you're a bird in flight. With your fist holding tight to the string of your kite. Oh. Let's go fly a kite up to the highest height. Let's go fly a kite and send it soaring up through the atmosphere, up where the air is clear. Oh, let's go fly a kite.
The kite needs a proper tail, don't you think?
That's what I said, sir. Go fly a kite. Oh, no, sir, no. I don't mean you personally.
Let's go fly a kite up to the highest height. Let's go fly a kite and send it soaring up through the atmosphere.
See, like, and I want to prove this to you, because one time I had a huge problem to sort out. I was really under it, and I called Bob Jones, and I said, what should I do? He said, where are you? I said, Florida. I thought he was going to say, I'll come and help you. He said, why don't you go to Busch Gardens? I said, what? So I had my big problem to sort out. He said, I'll just go to Busch Gardens. That's like Disney. I said, Bob, I'm serious. He said, go to Busch Gardens. So I made myself go to Busch Gardens, like that guy went to Disney. And I was like, walking around Busch Gardens like this. But I was with some other people, you know, they made me get in boats and stuff like that. Well, guess what? By the end of the day, the whole thing is lifted off me. Somebody called me and said, Joel, that situation's all taken care of. So I said, you know what it seems like? What I can do? You have to let go and let God move on your behalf and go fly a kite.
Woo! Jesus! Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you so much for coming. Give somebody a whole lot of God's love.